Welcome to Saturdays with Sir Roland, your weekly training guild on how to slay the dragons of vice with the weapons of virtue. Here's your guild master, the author of the Seven Deadly Dragons book series, and faithful knight to the one true light, Sir Roland Paterlot.
Greetings, young squires, maidens, moms, and dads. Today is the 30th day in the 8th month in the year of our Lord 2025, and it's a great day to learn the art of dragon slaying. Last week, we focused on a parable about the Red Dragon of Pride and released two new songs about the Red Dragon on Dragonslayers.tv, The Helmet of Salvation and The Fire Fell. I hope you like those songs, and we love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Thanks to all of you who have emailed us or left us comments on Dragonslayers.tv. This week, we will turn our attention to the Orange Dragon of Envy. And Topher and I again have two new songs for you, this time focusing on slaying that Orange Dragon, Envidia. There are two parables of Jesus in particular that we have already done episodes on that I think really help us understand how dangerous the Orange Dragon can be. In the parable of the prodigal son, we saw how extremely jealous and angry the older son became when the father in the parable showed mercy and forgiveness to the younger son and threw a big party when he returned home. And in the parable of the hired workers, the landowner ends up paying the workers who only worked 1 hour the same wage as the workers who worked all day. Even though the workers who worked all day got what they were promised, they were still envious and angry because of the generosity of the landowner towards the workers who came late. So if you haven't already listened to those episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen to episodes 5 and 6. But since we've already done a deep dive on those two parables, I thought today we would look at another type of parable. It is not a parable of Jesus, but actually an American folklore. Kids and parents alike are often tempted by the Orange Dragon to compare themselves and their lives to other people. We all have hopes and dreams and desires, and that is not a bad thing. But the game of the Orange Dragon is to get us to put our plans ahead of God's plans. It wants us to compare ourselves to others so that we'll start wishing for things we don't have. Then we start trying to control things according to our own plans, and too often that makes us miss out on something far better, God's plan for our lives. So let's listen to this folktale called The Three Trees and see if it can help us better trust in God's plan for our lives so we don't start wishing for someone else's life. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with intricate carving, and everyone would see the beauty." Then the second tree said, "Someday I will be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and the straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will remember me forever." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This tree looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, a woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was happy because he knew he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodman came upon the third tree, the tree was frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree, so I'll take this one." And he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. This is not at all what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by, and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day, a man and a woman came to the barn. She gave birth, and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it had held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got into the fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose, and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man, and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that it had carried the King of Kings in its boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of the hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as was possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. The moral of this story is that when things don't seem to be going your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, He will give you great gifts. Each of the trees got what they wanted, just not in the way they had imagined. We don't always know what God's plans are for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. You can't always control your situation or your circumstances, but you can always control your attitude and your effort by remembering this truth. Don't ask, "Why can't I be as tall as my friend Bobby so I can dunk a basketball?" or "Why can't I look like my friend Susie?" Ask, "How can I glorify God with the body He gave me and the unique gifts and talents He gave me?" Don't ask, "Why can't it be sunny on my class trip to the zoo?" Ask, "How can I brighten someone else's day today by being joyful and kind to those who are with me?" Don't ask, "Why can't I be the fastest runner in the race?" Ask, "How can I help my team win and finish the race with nothing left to give? How can I show sportsmanship in class and be a witness to others by the effort I give and the way I uplift my teammates and my competitors?" Here's the thing. I don't know what all God has planned for you in your life. I just know that it's not about what you do or what you have. It's about who you become. I am absolutely certain that God's plan for you is to become a great dragon slayer so that you can become a great saint and spend eternity in heaven with Him. And in the end, nothing else really matters. One of the new songs we are releasing this week is called Warriors of Light. And my daughter Hannah, who drew all the dragons and saints in the stories, wrote the final verse of this song. So my challenge for you this week is to listen to the song and reflect on these words. "Give back the gift of yourself to the world. With your left hand create, with your right wield a sword. Like Joseph in silence, building with grace, terror of demons, protector of faith. This dragon wants worship, your peace it devours. But God gives you armor and heavenly powers. He made you with love, not for envy or strife, but to rise with the saints and come fully alive." And until next week, I'll leave you under the protection of St. Michael the Great Archangel, St. Joseph the Terror of Dragons, and Mary, Queen of the Angels, Our Lady of Grace, and the woman whose seed crushed the head of the dragon.
Hey everybody, Sir Topher here. Roland, I absolutely love the three tree story. I think it could make a powerful film someday. But just like those trees discovered, it's really not about what we dream up, it's about what God chooses to do with us in this mission. However He shapes the work, His plan will always be better than ours. And speaking of the unexpected, Roland has no idea of this surprise, but I have a guest, his youngest daughter.
Hi, I'm Yadi Yumina. Goodbye, adieu.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast. We continue to pray that it may bear fruit for your families as you learn to slay dragons. And to close, here's the final verse from Warriors of Light, the one Sir Roland just mentioned, written by Lady Hannah. Until next week, stay holy and slay dragons.
Give back the gift of yourself to the world. With your left hand create, with your right wield a sword. Like Joseph in silence, building with grace. Terror of demons, protector of faith. This dragon wants worship, your peace it devours. But God gives you armor and heavenly powers. He made you with love, not for envy or strife. But to rise with the saints and come fully alive. Raise up your sword.